If the home's what it should be, if our churches are what it should be, then we'll have a generation coming on after us being what they should be. Amen. And that's what it's all about. You got your Bibles with you this afternoon. Open with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 16. I want to look at a pretty familiar passage of Scripture again. One that I trust that probably everybody's familiar with. Luke chapter 16. And we'll begin reading in verse 19, read through the end of the chapter. And like I said, it's a very familiar passage of Scripture, but I want to look at it just a little differently, maybe than what we normally look at it. In verse 19, it says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell," and a lot of people read this or quote this, "lifted." But there's no ED on it. There's no past tense to it. It's still present tense. "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Father, we come to you and just ask your blessing, Lord, upon your word that we're about to look at. I pray that, God, you'd take it and use it. Lord, apply it to our hearts. Lord, help us to, Lord, be able to glean from it, Lord, the truths that you've got for us. Pray that, God, you'd help us to apply it to our lives, Lord, and Father, that it would impact us, Lord, to do more for you, to serve you more fervently, more faithfully. God, that you'd have your will and your way now in the service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. Here in this passage of Scripture, as we read, I'll start back at verse 19 one more time. "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores." I ask you a very simple question this afternoon. In those two verses of Scripture, how many people do you see being made mention of? There's two that's named. The rich man and Lazarus. But there's a word in verse 20 that implies there's more. It says, which was laid. L-A-I-D. That word laid means to be placed there. So that means there's some others that are involved in this story, even though their names never mentioned. You know, Miss Kara, in the field of missions, we get to the fields where God's called us to. You get to Haiti, and those Haitians are going to know you, but they're not going to know the churches that are behind getting you there. And it's going to take those churches to lay you at the gate of those people. I want to preach for a little while on the unsung heroes. Because without you, we can't do what God's called us to do. Without the church, the missionary can't accomplish what needs to be done. See, I read of another passage where there was a man that was born of four. Because he was lame, because he was laid at the gate full of sores, the scriptures incline to me that because of him being laid there, that he was carried there by somebody else. That he was placed there by somebody else because he didn't have the ability in himself to get to where he needed to be by himself. And the missionary can't get to the field without the church. The missionary can't get to the field without the prayer warriors. The missionary can't get the job done that God wants done without the people financially and prayerfully supporting and undergirding and enabling that missionary to do the job, to do the work that God's called him to. Now, of course, you read in different passages. I mean, he could have been carried by two, but possibly, I mean, four would have definitely made the job easier. I mean, you could get one church maybe to send you, Miss Kara, but I tell you what, it's beneficial for you that one doesn't do it, though. It's beneficial that many get a hold of, that many are praying. I'm one going to get awful weary getting you all the way down there by themselves, amen? But if multiple churches get involved, if multiple people get a hold of this thing and do the work and the labor of caring and holding you before the Lord and praying for you and financing and so forth like that, the job gets done much easier. But this word laid implies that Lazarus, the first thing it implies was he's lame. He's lame. I don't know about you, but I'm one lame missionary, amen? I can't get there on my own. Brother Ted, you can't get there on your own. We can't do it in ourselves. It's going to take God's people doing it. And see, it's not just the missionary getting to the field. You've got lost loved ones. You've got lost co-workers. You've got lost neighbors. You've got lost people that you're acquainted with day in and day out. You're not going to win them in yourself. That's why we're to bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's why we need to be born of others, to be carried of others, to be held up by others in prayer to accomplish those things that God wants to do with us. He's lame. He's unable. He's not able to accomplish because of his inabilities. He's got to become dependent upon others. How much more can you accomplish with help than you can by yourself? And just about anything you want to name. And just about anything you want to look at. What's it, the old saying, many hands, makes light work of heavy task or something like that. I mean, you apply it to about anything you want and you watch what happens when more people chip in, amen? The work at the church. If one person has to do all the cleaning, all the mowing, the groundskeeping and everything like that and all the maintenance, and hey, it's a whole lot easier if the whole church just comes in and everybody jumps in and does. But this man Lazarus, he was lame. He was not able. It wasn't in him. He had to be laid at the gate of this rich man. And here we've got, we're in the same shape. And anything we want to accomplish for the Lord, it's not in our doing. It's not in my intellect, my ability, my skill, my talent, my knowledge. It's not in Robert Keaton. It's in God to do it. But I want you to notice something. He's laid at his gate full of sores. You know, I hear preachers all the time saying, and they'll quote David in the book of Psalms, said, I've been young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And they try to do that for a prosperity. This was the seed. He said, Father, He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Lazarus was a beggar. There's no guarantee that we won't be begging and dogs licking our sores one day. You can say all you want. You can say, well, hey, God's going to take care of. God's going to always provide. Hey, God will take care of and God will provide, but He may not provide what you think you're going to get. It don't mean you won't ever be broke, won't never be homeless, won't never... Hey, there's a lot of missionaries who live some rough lives. Here's Lazarus, laid at his gate full of sores, Brother Jerry. Laid. You say, preacher, where are you getting at? Well, there's a whole lot more to this story that you got to get. I'm going to try to just mind the Lord, not be. I'm not going to try to draw out and be long or not. If I'm brief, I'm brief. But Lazarus was laid. That means there was others involved in him getting where he went. Now I've got to draw you this picture, okay? That means that there was somebody that knew Lazarus wherever he lived, wherever he dwelt, probably on the street, maybe in an alley. Who knows? It probably didn't have a house because he's a beggar. But he had some friends that were faithful to lay him at the gate. And I can just see this mental picture in my mind. Maybe this is my warped personality. I don't know. But I can see this picture in my mind that his friends show up and say, Lazarus, where can we take you to today? And if you've never been to a country where beggars are plenteous like this is picturing, in Romania and Latvia and Lithuania, some of the countries I've been to, I mean, at the train stations, the marketplaces, I mean, where the chief places of concourse is where you find the multitudes of them. When they're entering in at these places where the markets are and things, Brother Russell, you're going to find the beggars, they're thick. Because that's where everybody's passing. That's where they're buying their goods, and on the way out, they'll feel sorry and they'll leave them a little something, or they're on the way in to purchase and they'll give them a little something. Now, Lazarus' friends, I believe they're friends because I believe this happened a lot more than one time because of things that are said in this passage. I believe when his friends showed up and said, Lazarus, Brother Tim, you put Lazarus for me a minute. Lazarus, where can we take you to today? You know what Lazarus said? You know. Because I believe it's the same place he went to every day. They said, but Lazarus, you don't. Why do you want to go there? He never gives you anything. Do you think Lazarus loved laying at the rich man's gate full of sores, being licked by the dogs? But yet that was not a one-time occurrence. He was laid at the gate, and this is a repeated thing. You say, how do you know it's repeated? Because this rich man knew him by name. How many beggars you know by name? This rich man knew him by name. He said, send Lazarus. That he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He knew his name. He knew his faithfulness. He knew that day in and day out, it was the same testimony of this man Lazarus, day in and day out. So it was not a one-time occurrence, but it was day after day the friends would come, and Lazarus, where can we take you? You know, what? We don't want to take you back there. You don't never get nothing. We end up having to give you some of our stuff because he won't do nothing. And he wasn't asking for steak and for loaves of bread. He said, just the crumbs. But you know, when it comes to a rich person, if you can get the crumbs, you see the heart softening. He asked him for the least of anything. He asked him for what the dogs would normally get. And I can just about imagine the rich man's reply every time Lazarus asked. I believe the rich man told him, said, Lazarus, I told you yesterday, I told you the day before, I told you the day before that, I told you last week, last month, you ain't getting nothing. Now leave me alone. And I believe Lazarus would say something like this, well, silver and gold have I none, but let me tell you about my Savior. You say, why do you believe that? Why else would the rich man want Lazarus to go to his father's house? To testify unto them. Testify what? What he's been telling me all these times. Lazarus, a man that was lame and full of sores, and sores being licked by the dogs laid at the gate, and yet he was faithful to his Lord. You say, preacher, you're stretching the story. You show me somebody else carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He had an exit out of this world like you can't imagine. We're reading about a beggar today nearly 2,000 years later. A testimony of a beggar that's ringing out through all of history for his faithfulness to his Savior to be a witness and a testimony when he's lame and laid up and can't do nothing else, but he can sure still praise the Lord. Amen. You see, he couldn't do all that without the friends that'd be faithful to lay him at the gate. Did Lazarus like having his sores licked by the dogs? I don't think so. Did he like being pleasing in God's sight? I believe so. I believe that he was willing to suffer that he could have the praise given to his Lord for his faithfulness. See, Lazarus was lame and he was laid, but I believe with all my heart, Lazarus was led as to where God would have him to go. See, a lot of times our leadership is based upon what's easiest or what's convenient or what's more pleasurable, not on where the Lord wants us to be. And we need to be where the Lord wants us to be. You see, now, when it comes to witnessing for us today, and we're going down the street knocking on doors, you say, well, I remember that house down there. They cussed me the last time I knocked on their door. I'm going to go to the other side of the street. Sound like a familiar story? They resisted, so why waste my time? I guarantee you this rich man resisted time and time and time again, but Lazarus kept being laid at his gate full of sores. And I believe the rich man finally got to the point and place that he even thought about putting in a back gate because he knew Lazarus was going to be laid out there at his gate when he got ready to leave. And when he would leave, Lazarus would be there. And he'd tell him, I told you. But Lazarus would say, let me tell you about my Savior. You see, because that's what he said down in verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He's talking about Lazarus going unto them from the dead, but then the Lord comes back and says, he said unto him, if they hear not Moses the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. He's saying he's speaking of his resurrection that is coming. He said, if they won't believe what the Word of God, that's what the prophets is the Word of God. If they won't believe the Word of God, they're not going to believe even if they see this body resurrected later. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm getting at this, that we've got to be found faithful in what God has given us to do. It don't matter how easy, how pleasurable, how enjoyable. It don't matter how easy it is or how tough it is. What matters is where does God want you to serve? Where does God want you to be a witness and be a testimony to share His Word and to give out the Word of life, the Word of God that is life to those that hear it? Keep hearing this brother talking about jail like he's hooked on it or something. Amen. There's neighbors. There's co-workers. You see, the unsung heroes are the ones, we don't have their names, but Lazarus could never have done what he did had it not been for them laying him at the gate. You see, our problem is we're trying to do a lot of things on our own. How many of you got someone you'd like to see saved? Now, how many of you have shared that name with others and said, pray with me about that? Now, a lot of times we share it in a prayer request. We put it on a prayer list. What about getting with some people and saying, hey, let's covet together in prayer and let's have a prayer time together. Let's get together and let's meet and let's pray specifically for this. See, the Bible says, if any two touches agreeing upon anything, asking of the Father in my name, he will do it. You said, well, what if he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance? It's not a matter of whether God's willing to save them or not. He's willing to, amen. It's, are we willing to go out of the way? Are we willing to be born of others? To not in our ability for us to go do it, but for us to be placed. See, so how many of you got those people that you'd love to see saved, you want them saved, but they don't receive you real well? Kind of like the rich man receiving Lazarus. But see, what we got to do is get people to pray and to lay us at the gate. Brother Jerry put me in their path where they can't get around me without listening. To put us in the situation or the circumstance to where the opportunity is going to be there. Where they can't be avoided. Where, I mean, I believe Lazarus had him so, they brought him over and set him beside the gate. I believe he said, scoop me over just a little bit right in front of it. Right, yeah, right there. Oh, where he can't get out without stepping over me. Where he can't get out without acknowledging me. See, after we get rejected a few times, we may kind of go back around that way, but we kind of stay out of their way. See, it's not me they're rejecting, it's him they're rejecting. And he's the best thing that could ever happen to them, so why should I be concerned with how they receive me? Brother Ron Garris used to say it this way, Brother Poole, when he would preach. He'd say, when I stand here, I have no friends. 1st time I heard him say that, I didn't understand it. But see, to stand here, Brother Ted, and have no friends means I'm not going to candy coat it or sugar coat it to make it easy for you to swallow. I'm going to tell it like it is. If it hurts you, so be it. It's not that I want to hurt you, but I want the truth to you, because if the truth shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And see, if I got friends, I'll not press the issue. I'll back up, I'll soften it up, And we do the same thing when it comes to trying to win those that are lost around us. Lazarus didn't do that. He said, put me right in the center of his gate. Right where he's got to step over me. He knew him. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger and cool my tongue. The man that was begging for my crumbs. The man that I wouldn't give nothing to. The man that always told me. The man that he might witness. That he might testify unto them. I don't know about you, but we need to be found faithful. I want to be found faithful. I want to be found serving Him. I want to be found living for Him, doing for Him. I want to be found doing His will. I don't want to be found laid over at the side not doing. I want to be found laid right in the center of His will. And I can't get there on my own. It's going to take some unsung heroes. May not ever be named, but I need some prayer warriors that will pick us up and place us right in the center of God's will. Right in the path of those that they don't want to hear, but they need to hear. And those that need to hear need somebody that's being willing to be placed in their path. Get to the gate before it's too late. The only way we can get there is with some unsung heroes being willing to pick up the leader and carry us and place us. Just a thought that I had in my heart for this afternoon, and I know it's not very long, but just trying to get a point across that we need to be more like Lazarus. Too many times we're not. Too many times we're concerned about what people think of us. how they're going to receive me, Ed. I don't want to be, I don't like rejection, neither do you. But I'd rather be rejected than them reject my Savior. I'd rather them be mad at me than reject my Savior. I'd rather take the chance of offending them and myself than for them to go to hell without ever hearing about the Savior. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Lazarus was lame. Lazarus was laid. Lazarus was led. Where to go? But praise God, one day he got lifted. He got lifted. He got carried out, amen. He got, you're talking about blessed. What an exit. What a finish to life. What a great last chapter this man's got. Because of his faithfulness to be led of God and laid and placed where God would have him to be. I've talked to many a people in church, many a person. And I've heard people say, when I was younger, I really felt like God would have had me. And you could put all kinds of things in those blanks that they said. And all of those things are things that they could have done. But they were not willing to allow themselves to be placed in that circumstance. They were not willing to submit themselves to God's will. They were not willing to leave what they had. They were not willing to suffer the persecution, or they were not willing to sacrifice whatever. And now in years gone by, their lives are full of regrets, remorse, when it could have been like Lazarus and had a life finishing up with some rejoicing. Some rejoicing over what God has done. He said, but the rich man didn't listen. No. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Wide is the gate, and broad is the path that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. The majority are not going to accept. But God, do you think God wants them to go to hell without having an obstacle? Or do you think God wants us to be everything we can to stop them from going there? It's going to take us being laid at the gate. Some of you are the unsung heroes. You're the one that's been laying people at the gate. Don't you have somebody you need to be laid at the gate of? We need to get to the gate. I find that maybe you're not like me. There's people I've prayed for and prayed for and prayed for, and then finally I get tired of praying for and I quit. Anybody God ever told you to quit praying for? We do it on our own. We get tired. We get weary. We need to get back to the gate. I only read of one place in the entire Word of God where God told somebody to quit mourning for so-and-so. God told Samuel to quit mourning for Saul because he'd chosen another. That's the only place I can recall, Brother Tim, in the Word of God. But how many times have we quit? Because it got a little tough. Oh, we saw the dogs coming. Didn't want the dogs licking my sores. Having the sores is bad enough, let alone the dogs licking it. Somebody rejects you, we go off and lick our wounds. It's time to get to the gate. Let's get to the gate before it's too late. Let's be found faithful like Lazarus. We're lame in ourselves, we can't do it. No matter how lame, no matter how much you got to depend on somebody else to lay you there, it's still up to us to be led of the Lord. To put ourselves in a position that we can hear from God and listen to God and allow God to have His way in our heart and our life. We all want to be lifted, amen. Well, we all want to be lifted up, exalted, elevated, I mean, be pleasing in His sight. It's only going to happen when we submit ourselves to Him. Just a thought for this afternoon. I believe there's some gates that we need to get to. Some people we've thrown in the towel on, some people we've given up on, some people that we used to, but we don't pray for them like we used to. This whole flesh gets weary, and the Bible says and warns us against it, said, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall also reap if you faint not. But yet our flesh gets weary and tired and worn, and we throw in the towel, God doesn't do it. It's time for us to pick it back up and just get back to the gate. See, how do you do it? Old-fashioned altar is a good place. Come and lay it down and say, Lord, I've lost my burden. See, the Bible said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. How long has it been since you've shed a tear? See, if we don't get our hearts right and we don't get the tears flowing for the lost, we're not going to be very good when we get there. When somebody does lay us at the gate, we're not going to be very effective. I believe Lazarus was effective with the rich man in that the rich man remembered him. Can you imagine remembering Lazarus in the torments of hell? In the pain and the torment that he was in, the agony, the excruciating agony the rich man was in, to recall what Lazarus had said at his gate. To have the power that Lazarus had in his words. He had to have had a heart that was for God. A heart that was where God could use him. A heart that was where God could direct it. That's a heart that we get when we surrender ourselves to the Lord. When we allow God to have His way in our life. When we quit saying, it's me, it's about me. No, it's not about me, it's about Him. Whether it's going into the jail, into the prison, whether it's pastoring the church, whether it's going to Haiti, it's about Him. That's what it's all about. The only thing that's got me involved is just getting me to the gate. Just the Lord making me that stumbling block that they can't get around without hearing the Word of God. We're the most difficult piece of the whole puzzle. God's just trying to put it all together. I guarantee you, it's not so hard to find people to lay you at the gate, but you've been willing to be laid there. When you know there may be opposition, there may be resistance or difficulties or hardships, we've just got to be surrendered. A vessel that's fit for His use. It's willing to let the Master have His way. I'm going to ask you, if you would, tonight to stand with me this afternoon.